Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, everybody, for attending the program today. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmei Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamajyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpa Turubhascha Kripa Sandhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhya Vaishnavebhya Namo Nama Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Pishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Guruvani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shanyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gora Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Granthraj Madhbhakta Mahapurana Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 19, which is entitled The Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge, text number 27. Dharma mad bhakti krit prakto. Dharma mad bhakti krit prakto. Jnanam chekatmya darshanam. Jnanam chetatmya. Sorry. Jnanam chekatmya darshanam. Guneshu asango vairagyam. Guneshu asango vairagyam. Aishvaryam chanimadayah. Aishvaryam chanimadayah. Dharma mad bhakti krit prakta. Jnanam chaikatmya darshanam. Guneshu asango vairagyam. Aishvaryam chayanimadayah. Dharma mad bhakti krit prakta. Jnanam chaikatmya darshanam. Guneshva sango vairagyam. Aishvaryam chanimadayah. Dharma mad bhakti krit prakta. Jnanam chaikatmya darshanam. Guneshu asango vairagyam. Aishvaryam chanimadayah. Dharma mad bhakti krit prakta. Yanam chaikatmya darshanam. Guneshva sangave ragyam. Aishvaryam chani madeha. Dharma mad bhakti krit prakta. Jnanam chaikatmya darshanam. Guneshva sango vairagyam. Aishvaryam chani madeha. Dharmaha, religion. Mat, mai. Bhakti, devotional service. Krit, producing. Proktaha, it is declared. Jnanam, knowledge. Cha, also. Ekatmya, the presence of the Supreme Soul. Darshanam, seeing. Guneshu, in the objects of sense gratification. Asangaha, having no interest. Vairagyam, detachment. Aishvaryam, opulence. Cha, also. Anima, the mystic perfection called anima. Adeha, and so forth. Translation, please repeat after me. Actual religious principles are stated to be those that lead one to my devotional service. Real knowledge is the awareness that reveals my all-pervading presence. Detachment is complete disinterest in the objects of material sense gratification. And opulence is the eight mystic perfections, such as anima siddhi. So again, the translation is, actual religious principles are stated to be those that lead one to Krishna's devotional service. Real knowledge is the awareness that reveals Krishna's all-pervading presence. Detachment is complete disinterest in the objects of material sense gratification. And opulence is the eight mystic perfections, such as anima siddhi, purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supreme Lord is perfect knowledge. Thus, one who has been delivered from the ignorance, automatically engages in the devotional service of the Lord and is called religious. One who becomes detached from the three modes of material nature and the gratificatory objects they produce is considered to be situated in detachment. The eight mystic yoga perfections described previously by the Lord to Uddhava constitute material power or opulence in the highest degree. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnana Jana Shalaka Chakshur Mildam Yena Tasme Shri Guru Venama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishtaya Patale Srimate Tamal Krishna Goswami. So in terms of our life, Srila Prabhupada described that preaching is life, that when you reach out to other living entities, so that those other living entities can become happy, so that they can actually lead in a, Prabhupada uses this sentence, a complete life of knowledge and happiness. Then we actually feel alive. It gives us life. Otherwise, Srila Prabhupada described living entities as just dead bodies that are flapping about. They're just flapping about, but they're actually dead bodies because the body is actually dead. The soul is the one that gives it life. Otherwise, it's dead matter. The soul gives it life. And if the soul is sleeping, then the body is pretty much acting more or less like a dead body, except that it's moving about. It's not doing anything that is of any real value. And so for us, those of us who reach out like that to other living entities, do outreach programs like that, the 11th canto is like one of the sweetest cantos of the 12 cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam, because it actually equips us with how to speak to others, how to relate with others, so that they will also come to Krishna, because Krishna is their supreme lovable person. He is the supreme lovable object of all living entities. Krishna himself describes that, Suridam Sarvabhutanam. I am the one that everybody loves the most. I am the one who loves all the living entities the most. Like that. Suridam Sarvabhutanam can be read as that the Lord is loved the most. Of course, he says that in the Bhagavad Gita also. Yomam eva masamudho janati purushottamam sa sarvavid bhajati imam sarvabhavena bharata. Sarvabhavena. The word sarvabhavena means, bhavena is the word love. To have bhava is a very powerful form of love. And sarvabhavena means that Krishna is all, is to be all loved. He is the all beloved for every living entity. He is the all beloved. For whom? Those persons who have come to know this. They've come to know this now. And so they will do that. And so generally, in this material world, we are all in ignorance. It is described that Maya has this effect of throwing a person into darkness and then covering them so that they remain in darkness, the darkness of ignorance, like that. This is Maya's role. And why she throws them into this darkness is because the living entity wants to enjoy separately from Krishna, and there is no real enjoyment separate from Krishna. But in darkness, you don't really know what's happening. So you may think you know what's happening, but you really don't know what's happening. And we stay covered like that in darkness, in ignorance, so that many, many lives are lived like that, where we're assuming that I will be happy, I am happy, I was happy, you know, the good old days, the good days now, and the good days of the future, and all these types of things that people speak about like that. So in the earlier cantos, in canto 1, where actually Srila Prabhupada says, if you just read canto 1 and understand canto 1, you will understand everything about Krishna consciousness. In canto 1, there is a similar statement that is made, that's made here, and that is in chapter 2, which talks about devotional service, divinity and divine service. And in that chapter, in text number 6, Krishna says, Save pumsang paro dharmo yato bhaktir doksha ahituki apritihata yatna suprasiddhiti yatna suprasiddhiti. So the translation is that the supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. And here he says the same thing. He says real knowledge, he says actual religious principles are stated to be those that lead one to my devotional service. Krishna is speaking to Krishna's devotional service like that. And here Krishna is saying the same thing, that the supreme occupation for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord, to Krishna himself. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. And here we can see, in this also it is said, that detachment is complete disinterest in the objects of material sense gratification, like that. So you can see the parallels. Krishna is repeating the same statement, but in different words, so that we may understand him fully like that. So then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says to that verse, he says that in this statement, Srila Sutta Goswami answers the first question of the sages of Naimisharanya. Basically, what was the first statement of the sages in Naimisharanya? The first question was that, can you please summarize all of the Vedas in a very short, presentation? Can you summarize all of the Vedas and tell us what is the most important thing that a person should do? So you know how to get to the essence, right? This is the essence. So now summarizing all of the Vedas is a very difficult situation because the Vedas are very, very expansive. You know, they're very, very big, huge. It is said that if you had all the Vedas, and we only have 6% of the Vedas on this planet now because the Vedas were lost over a period of time. But if we had all of the Vedas in the original form, you know, this temple room could be filled up 100 times with books, full of books. All this whole temple filled with books. Can you imagine from ceiling to floor, wall to wall, front to back? And you multiply that hundreds of times like that, how many books there would be, right? Those are the Vedas. Now you have to summarize all of that into one short presentation and then say, what is the most important thing that you have to do? And so here's the answer. The answer is that the supreme occupation of dharma for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Because people are seeking complete satisfaction, right? Everybody is looking to become completely satisfied. And because we are partially satisfied, we're not happy. We want to be fully satisfied. Most people are not even partially satisfied. They're really struggling in this world. Everybody's struggling so hard, thinking, this will help me become more satisfied, this will satisfy me, etc. So in this statement, Prabhupada says, Srila Sutta Goswami answers the first question of the sages in Naimisharanya. The sages asked him to summarize the whole range of revealed scriptures and present the most essential part so that fallen people or the people in general might easily take it up. I didn't say that part. Not only he had to summarize it, but then to make the essential statement, right? And then in a way that others can easily follow. That's not easy, you know. That's very difficult. This is the greatness of devotees. Sutta Goswami is such a great, devotee that he can do something like that. It's just amazing, totally amazing. He says, then the Vedas prescribe two different types of occupation for human beings. One is called the pravritti marg, or the path of sense enjoyment. And the other is called the nirvritti marg, or the path of renunciation. The path of enjoyment is inferior, and the path of sacrifice for the supreme cause is superior. The material existence of the living being is a diseased condition of actual life. Actual life is spiritual existence, or Brahma-Bhuta existence, where life is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Material existence is temporary, illusory, and full of miseries. There is no happiness at all. No happiness at all. There is just a futile attempt to get rid of the miseries, and the temporary cessation of misery is falsely called happiness. Therefore, the path of progressive material enjoyment, which is temporary, miserable, and illusory, is inferior. But devotional service to the Supreme Lord, which leads one to eternal, blissful, and all cognizant life, is called the superior quality of occupation. This is sometimes polluted when mixed with the inferior quality. This is what, as devotees, generally that's what happens. We have the superior quality of devotional service, but somehow we're mixing it with the inferior quality of sense gratification.
For example, adoption of devotional service for material gain is certainly an obstruction to the progressive path of renunciation. Renunciation or abnegation for material good is certainly a better occupation than enjoyment in the diseased condition of life. So again, it says renunciation or abnegation for the ultimate good is certainly better occupation than enjoyment in the diseased condition of life. Right? One can say that Prabhupada is referring to the enjoyment of devotional service in the diseased condition means when you mix it with sense gratification. Like if you can think of devotional service as the most blissful or ecstatic kheer, you know, sweet rice, and then you add in it grains of sand, which is sense gratification, then it is said that it is better to give up everything and feel like you're suffering, but stay Krishna conscious. That is much better, Prabhupada says. Such enjoyment, or the enjoyment that we have when you mix like that, only aggravates the symptoms of the disease and increases its duration. See? Because then we're saying to the Lord, I'm really interested in the grains of sand. There was no need to put the grains of sand in the sweet rice. Why did you put the grains of sand? Because we are addicted to the grains of sand for some reason. Therefore, devotional service to the Lord must be pure in quality, i.e., without the least desire for material enjoyment. One should therefore accept the superior quality of occupation in the form of devotional service of the Lord without any tinge of unnecessary desire, furtive action, and philosophical speculation. You see how Prabhupada keeps driving the same point again, again, again. He's really hitting the nail. He wants to drive that nail down to secure the board, you know, like that. This alone can lead one to perpetual solace in his service, Krishna's service. Prabhupada, of course, defines the word service as expression of love, so that we can always love Krishna and feel the love of Krishna fully like that. We have purposely denoted dharma as occupation because the root meaning of the word dharma is, quote, that which sustains one's existence, close quotes. A living being's sustenance of existence is to coordinate his activities with his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishna is the central pivot of living beings, and he is the all-attractive living entity or eternal form amongst all other living beings or eternal forms. Each and every living being has his eternal form in the spiritual existence, and Krishna is the eternal attraction for all of them. Krishna is the complete whole, and everything else is his part and parcel. The relation is one of servant and the served. It is transcendental and completely is completely distinct from our experience in material existence. Means you cannot experience what is happening in the spiritual world here in the material world. Even as devotees, you cannot experience it. It's that different. We think we're experiencing Krishna consciousness, but that is a small taste of Krishna consciousness. It is nothing like, just like say for example, when you're completely thirsty, how would one drop of water taste compared to being completely satisfied and quenched with a lot of water, right? There's a huge difference. We may think the taste of water, one drop, gives us an idea of what water tastes like, but it really doesn't. Gives us some idea, but it doesn't. It doesn't give us a full idea. So here Prabhupada's making that point very nicely. The relation of servant and the served is the most congenial form of intimacy. Because we are looking for intimacy. People are always looking for intimacy in the world. Intimacy gives life, actually. In fact, in America, they say, if you want to live longer, get a dog. If you have a dog in the house, you will live longer. Because you'll have an intimate relationship with the dog, in the sense, the dog serves the master, is always happy seeing the master. The master feels reciprocation, you see. And so the master lives a longer life. That's what they say in America. But here Prabhupada is saying that the most congenial form, the best form of intimacy, is actually to have a relationship with God. One can realize it as devotional service progresses. And we realize this as we progress in our devotional service. Everyone should engage himself in that transcendental loving service of the Lord, even in the present conditional state of material existence. Everyone should. There is no exception. That will gradually give one the clue to actual life and please him to complete satisfaction. So this is the purport that Srila Prabhupada gave to Savaipam Sang Parvadharma Yathor Bhakti Adhokshaja Ahoituki Apratihata Yayatma Su Prasiddhi. So today's verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is speaking to his most dear friend Uddhava. Uddhava is actually a very, very intelligent devotee. Extremely intelligent devotee. And, he never asks Krishna for anything. Like most devotees pray to Krishna and ask him for this, that, and the other. Which is good. We should ask. Because if we don't ask Krishna, we'll ask somebody else. And that is not the answer. The answer is not to turn to anybody else but to Krishna. Like that. So we should ask. And then over a period of time, we realize that actually our whole purpose is not so much to ask from Krishna, but actually to love Krishna, like that. So we graduate like that. In the meantime, actually we do ask. But in Krishna's case, in Uddhava's case, he never asked. So Krishna, when he was leaving the planet, he said to Uddhava, everybody has asked me something, for some boon or whatever. They've asked me something. But you never asked me anything. You never asked, you never asked anything from me. So please, before I leave, because Krishna was planning on leaving, and Uddhava knew where Krishna was leaving the planet. So he said, before I leave, please ask me something. I want you to ask me something. So Uddhava, he said, I have one question. I have one question that I want to ask you. And so Krishna says, Krishna is very happy. Yeah, please ask the question. So he said, at the time when the Pandavas were playing dice with Duryodhan and his company, Shakuni and others were there, right? Karna, on the side of Duryodhan, and then on this side were the Pandava brothers. He said, you knew what was going to happen in that game of dice. Why did not you go to Yudhisthira and advise him against it and say, this is not good for you. Why are you playing dice? This is not good for you. It's going to be harmful, like that to you. Why did you not do it? Before he asks that question, he asks one other question, which is actually from which this question arose. First question he asked him is, who is a real friend? So he said, this is my question to you is, I have a question. The question is, who is a real friend? And so Krishna answers the question by saying, a real friend is one who does something for his friend without being asked. So he likes his friend so much that even before the person asks, he is ready to do. He does what is necessary to be done. You see what I'm saying? Like that. So then Uddhava asks Arjuna, Krishna, then Arjuna was your friend. The Pandavas are your friends, right? They're your friends. So why did you not tell them? Don't play dice. And then, worse than that, even while they were playing dice, because you were outside the door, you knew everything that was happening. You weren't in the room itself directly, but you were outside, at the entrance. So you knew what was happening inside. And past, present, and future. Everything. So, you knew. So when they were playing the dice, then you could see he was losing, right? Then, you could have stopped him before he put his wife you know, as the prize, right, for whoever wins the next round of dice. Why did you allow your devotee to be, you know, for him to put his brothers first as servants and then, you know, and then the, and then Draupadi like that. And then he said, and then, you know, you knew that Shakuni was going to cheat, right? He was going to play the dice in such a way that the dice would come to only certain numbers, you know, like that. And so, why didn't you just tell Yudhisthira, you really don't know how to play dice. Why don't you let, there was another devotee there who was also very smart in that art on Arjuna's side, on Yudhisthira's side, the Pandava's side. Why don't you let him do the rolling of the dice? Because he would roll the dice the same way Shakuni can do it. He can also roll the dice like that and make it come to whatever number. Why don't you let him, why don't you tell him, look, you're not a smart dice player. You're not playing dice with Duryodhan, you're playing dice with Shakuni. You should be equal match, right? Why are you playing? You know? And then he said, and then when Dushasan, you know, held Draupadi by the hair, right? And dragged her into the assembly. Why didn't you stop him? How dare he? This such saintly lady, he's dragging her by the hair into the assembly of such stalwart persons. Why didn't you stop him? Stop them, you know? So then Krishna smiled, you know? And Krishna said, look, people should be allowed to do what they really want to do, right? And they knew about me. They knew I was outside the door. Anybody could have called me. Yudhisthira could have called me. Yudhisthira could have said, I want to speak to Krishna first. I want to consult. Because whenever you make any decision, you should consult with your authorities, right? You should ask them, what do you think about this? Right? Then what happens is they will advise you, and based on that advice, you will not suffer. You know, and even if you are to suffer, it'll be something small. But it won't be a disastrous situation. So he didn't do that. Yudhisthira didn't do that. He didn't consult anybody. He decided he wanted to play dice. I can't intervene in that type of situation and say, sorry, you're not going to play dice. That would be absurd on my part to do that. Right? And when Draupadi called for me, what happened? She did call for me. Hey, Govinda. She put her hand up and said, hey, Govinda. She called for me. Right? And so I did what was necessary. I took care of the situation. They could not take the sari off her. You see what I'm saying? So Krishna says to Dava that one should understand that I'm always there for you. I'm always there for everybody. But they have to ask. They have to request. I cannot force myself on somebody because that is not love. Love means that someone has to ask. But I'm always there for them. See? I'm such a friend. I'm always there for them. Even though they're not thinking about me, I'm right sitting right next to them. Actually, I'm sitting in their own hearts. I'm right there. So I'm always there for people. I'm always there. I'm doing things for them. I'm making arrangements, you know, that they will understand that I am there. So what are the arrangements that Krishna has made to make us understand that he is there and he's ready to act for us? What are some of the arrangements he's made? Can you think of any arrangements that Krishna has made? Huh? Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Sometimes, Premachara Prabhu is saying that sometimes, you know, when you look back, we can see that something was Krishna's arrangement, although we didn't see it at that time. So we know that Krishna is there. That's true. That way Krishna is showing that he is there for us. How is he showing that he is there for us? in the form of scripture, right? How many books have been written to say, Krishna is saying, I am there for you. I'm always with you. You know? And that anything that is separated from me is not even real, right? For example, he says, Aham eva samivagre, nanyad yat sadasat param, paschad ham yadeta cha yavishishyeta swasmiyam. Then he says, Ritayartham yat pratiyeta, na pratiyeta chatmani, tad vidyadatmanomayam yathabhasuetatama. Whatever is in connection with me is real, whatever is not is illusory, right? I'm always there. In fact, I was there in the beginning, I'm there now, I will be there in the future. Right? So many times Krishna is saying he's there. He's there in the form of the deities, right? He's there in the form of the super soul. We know the super soul is always with us. He's there in the form of knowledge. He's there in the form of the devotees who give us so much advice about Krishna, right? How many books have been printed and gone out to declare that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he's there for you, and if you turn towards him, then everything will happen. All these are Krishna's arrangements, right? So I mean, there are billions and billions and billions of arrangements of Krishna to prove that he's there for us and he's doing things for us all the time, even though we're not asking, right? Did we ask him to come and stay with me as a super soul? No. Did we come and ask him to please become deity so that we can worship you? No. Did we ask him to come as the holy name so that we can chant his holy name? No. In any of the things that Krishna has done for us, we never really asked him. He did it even though we didn't ask him, right? So he's the real friend, right? In all the lives that we were not Krishna conscious, and even now, can we really say we are Krishna conscious? Has to be a point of, introspection, right? We have to really think hard about that. Am I really Krishna conscious? And certainly, am I Krishna conscious enough? I mean, you know, shouldn't I be more Krishna conscious like that? But before we came to Krishna consciousness, Krishna was still looking after us, right? He was still there as super soul, he was still there as the books, he was still there as everything. So Krishna is the best friend. Krishna is a friend. He's a real friend. And of course in the Bhagavad Gita he says, I'm the best friend. Suhridam sarvabhutana. I'm the best friend. Suhridam means the best friend, right? So is like the soulmate for us, each and every one of us. So here we can see that Krishna is making so many attempts to bring us to the spiritual situation, to our spiritual situation. And yesterday we were reading about Krishna, that Krishna has these two wonderful qualities called Mugdha and Sarvagya. Sarvagya. Mugdha means Krishna acts like he knows nothing. You know, for his devotee, he acts like he knows nothing. He just looks at the devotee and whatever the devotee wants, let's do it. You know, that type of thing. Krishna has this attitude, you know, and it's arrangement of yoga maya. But Krishna actually he feels very dependent on the devotee. Oh, you're doing that. That's good. You made an offering of prasadam, bhoga, I can now have some prasadam. Like that, you see. He has this quality of mugdha, like that. Then is this quality of sarvagya, which means that he knows everything. So they're like opposites. Mugdha and sarvagya are like opposites. And he has both of these. In the transcendental arena, these can be reconciled. In the material arena, you can't reconcile knowing nothing and knowing everything. Can't be reconciled. But in the transcendental arena, it can be reconciled because know nothing means that he doesn't assume anything about the devotee. He lets the devotee express what the devotee really wants. You know, sometimes they say when they teach us, you know, how to listen properly, right? Listening skills. They teach us to ask questions so that by asking the question, we can understand what the person is saying. Like, say, if someone is really very angry and you know, they're saying something, and you can say to them, are you feeling angry? Are you angry? You know, like that. So the question is asked so that person can be clear. Yes. Not that I'm thinking the person is angry. Person may not be angry. It may be something else. They may be showing anger, but it may be something else that translates like anger, but it's actually something else. You see what I'm saying? So Krishna is a very good listener. He doesn't want to assume, although he knows everything. He doesn't want to assume it. He wants the devotee to express himself or herself so that Krishna can then relate with the devotee like that, because he loves his devotees so much. Krishna loves all of his devotees so very much. He loves all living entities. But devotees are special because devotees are making a special effort to reach out to him, right? Every devotee who is trying to engage in devotional service is making some special effort to reach out to Krishna. Krishna wants to reciprocate with them. That's what he relishes the most, this reciprocation. So Krishna actually, he knows everything. So basically what he does with his sarvajna quality, he makes all the arrangements that the devotee will be completely satisfied like that, really happy. So this is why we may remember in the verse Savai Pumsang Paro Dharma Itho Bhakti Radokshaja, Krishna refers to the Supreme Lord, the verse refers to the Supreme Lord as the transcendent Lord. Sutta Goswami says, the transcendent Lord. Why doesn't he just say the Supreme Lord? Why does he say the transcendent Lord? It's transcendent because it transcends all material understanding. It transcends mental understanding, intellectual understanding like that, psychological understanding, you know, metaphysical understanding. It transcends all of this, you know. It even transcends spiritual understanding, because spiritual understanding can also, we can make mistakes. You know, we can make mistakes. But in the transcendental understanding, what happens is that the Lord himself allows us to know his heart. There's no speculation. In spirituality, there can be a lot of speculation, right? Because so many spiritual statements, so some speculation can be there. But when Krishna himself is saying something, there is no speculation, right? If Krishna is saying, give up all varieties of religion and surrender unto my lotus feet only, you can't speculate, right? And people still speculate because they think they're so spiritually smart that they can actually bring out some contorted meaning of that statement. But the statement is very clear, right? Give up all varieties of religion and simply surrender unto my lotus feet. I think the point is very clear. It's very clear. But we will see in all the hundreds and hundreds of other Bhagavad Gitas, that statement is not translated like that. You see? Why they're not translating like that is because the spiritual understanding is not good enough. It's the transcendental understanding that is the best. And the transcendental understanding, the difference between the spiritual and the transcendental is that spiritual is generic, transcendental is specific. Like, if we give a general answer, right, and a specific answer, I think there's a big difference, right? So say, for example, we're talking about, you know, let's say we're talking about Mathuranath Prabhu, right? We all know who Mathuranath Prabhu is, a wonderful devotee in our community. So we talk about Mathuranath Prabhu and we say that Mathuranath Prabhu is a human being. I mean, how much information is there in that statement? Pretty much nothing, right? Everybody knows he's a human being. That's a general statement. It's very generic, you know? But if we say to people that Mathuranath Prabhu loves to eat rasgullas, okay, now you come to something specific, right? Now you can deal with Mathuranath in a way that you can say, oh, I can make some nice rasgullas and take it to Mathuranath Prabhu's house and say, hey, have some rasgulla, man. And he'll love it, right? Because it's his favorite. I'm not saying it is his favorite. Probably is his favorite. I just chose, you know, a word. But the point is that it is in the specific that the ecstasy is there. In the general, this ecstasy is not there. So Krishna wants us to know him intimately, specifically. And even if you want to speculate, it is okay to speculate so long as you're speculating for the pleasure of Krishna. Meaning, oh Krishna, I don't know what you really like, but I think you might like a yellow rose, so please accept this yellow rose as my expression of love for you. Right? then Krishna is going to say, wow, thank you very much. I really love yellow roses. Why do you think Krishna will say that? Why do you think he will say, I really love yellow roses? Yeah, Krishna is trying to please the devotee. Krishna is not thinking about his own happiness. He's Atma Rama, right? He's thinking of the happiness of my devotee. Oh, you want to offer me some yellow roses? How nice of you. Where does that happen in our life? Where does that similar thing happen in our life? It happens in the case of children, right? Young children, little baby, you know? Say, for example, little baby draws. Say, for example, you are the father of your little son or daughter. Your little son or daughter for the first time draws a picture of you. And says, Daddy, this is Daddy, you know? And what does Daddy say when he looks at the picture? Oh, this, how nice. You're the best. You're the best painter. You drew me exactly what I look like. Why does Daddy say that? Because Daddy knows that person is trying to express some love to me, right? When someone is trying to express some love to you, we really appreciate it. We really, really, really appreciate it, don't we? Every one of us. We really appreciate it when someone really, even if they do something that might be insignificant, but it's love, right? Love is never insignificant. Love is never, 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 ever insignificant. So in any expression of love, we feel so much happiness in that expression of love, right? So Krishna is more like that than we are. We have so much love in our hearts, right? In our hearts, we have so much love. But Krishna has many, many fold, millions of fold more love in his heart than we have. So you can imagine that even the slightest movement towards him, and he feels very happy about it. Even the slightest movement towards him. The problem is we have is with our minds. Our minds tell us, no, that's not good enough. You're a loser. You know. You're never going to make a devotee. You're a cheater. People even tell you you're a cheater. You did this, you did that, you did this, you did that. And so, means you're really not a nice devotee. Sorry. You know, and so the devotee becomes discouraged. Devotee thinks, yeah, really, it's true. I'm not a nice devotee. See, I didn't follow some principles properly. I didn't chant my rounds properly. I didn't turn up at Mangalarti. I didn't do this, I didn't do that. And the, yeah, never took music lessons. I got this millions of things that I did not do. There are a few things I did, right? Like the few things I did. And the millions of things I did not do, right? Down the line. So, you know, if you got 3 out of 100, well, that's not a pass mark, right? That's a fail mark. That's a huge fail mark. That's such a big fail mark. You may as well not set the exam. You really failed. You're a real loser. But the fact is, the opposite is just true. The very opposite is very true. If you did one little thing for Krishna, Krishna pays full attention to that person and says, wow, this person's starting to love me after all these lives of forgetting me, right? This person is now turning towards me. Prabhupada said, if you look at one of my books, you will make Krishna conscious progress. Just look at it. This is why when the devotees go out to book distribution, you know, book is in their hand, you know, Vaisheshika Prabhu often says that for in his training classes, just put the book in their hand first. They touch the book, right? They get the experience of the Lord in their hand. That book is not different from Krishna sitting in the person's hand. Immediately there's going to be an electric shock that will go through their body. And make them feel like, oh, something different here, you know. This is not the same. This is not the same old, same old. There's something different happening here. Same when you speak to a person, anything about Krishna consciousness, in any way, if we reach out to anybody in Krishna consciousness, that gives us life. We become alive. Suddenly it doesn't matter that we didn't have enough prasadam to eat, or we didn't have, you know, proper sleep last night, or we didn't have this, or didn't have this, and didn't have that, and the hundreds and millions of things that the mind wants to have, right? There's a whole list of things the mind wants to have. It doesn't matter. Because when we touch somebody for their Krishna consciousness, there is nothing that pleases Krishna more than that. Nothing. It is the greatest activity anybody can do. Somebody can attend all of the rituals of Hare Krishna, whatever you call them, for millions of lifetimes. And if they didn't touch anybody, and someone else can just touch somebody for 1 second, in that 1 second they'll achieve more than those millions of lives of practice of Krishna consciousness. In that 1 second. This is the power of love of Krishna. That's why we say every morning the ultimate purpose of life is Krishna Prema. Because Krishna Prema is so powerful. It is so powerful that even Krishna becomes bewildered. It is said in front of the devotee, Krishna forgets everything. Just like sometimes, you know, you meet something really nice, somebody really nice, and you blank out, right? You just blank out. Because you're so awe-inspired by that person, you blank out. And they ask you a question, and you stare at them, and you don't know what they say. Because you're so caught up in that situation, right? That you just forgot everything, you know? Krishna is like that. That's why he's called Mugdha. He is like that himself. He loves his devotee so much, he becomes speechless sometimes in front of his own devotee. He becomes speechless. Why? Because he loves his devotee so much. He's so happy to see his devotee. You know, often we hear the other way around, right? The devotee became stunned. The devotee could not say anything. The devotee fell down like a stick. You know? The devotee passed out. So many things happen to a devotee. If Krishna was to walk in here, I'm sure, you know, we'd have a variety of reactions to that situation, right? We'd be stunned, literally stunned, and don't know what to do sometimes, right? Some of us might just smile and be frozen in the smile. Somebody might just fall on the ground, you know, and just like a stick to pay off obeisances, you know. And somebody would be just amazed and jaw dropped, you know, just, wow, what is this? You know, like we're totally stunned. But Krishna is also stunned like that. That's why it's called Mugdha. Right? So really, every verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam is encouraging each and every one of us to do whatever little we can do to move towards Krishna. That's all. Just do the little things. Don't get all caught up about it. Oh, that one did this, that one did that, this one is such a great devotee, everybody praises this devotee, never speaks about me. Nobody ever talks about me. You know? We are very fortunate if nobody talks about me, because Krishna is talking about me all the time. Krishna is talking about each and every one of us all the time. He's already talking to his people, oh, do you see that devotee there? And nobody's talking to that devotee, nobody cares about the devotee, but I really love that devotee. Such a sweet devotee, and he tells a story about the devotee, this, that, and the other. He makes all the arrangements in that devotee's life, so the devotee will be ultimately with him. Now, why does Krishna give us problems then? Nice devotees, why he gives us problems? He gives us problems because we're in bad company. What is our bad company? Our bad company is our senses, our mind, our intelligence, our false ego. These guys are conspirators. They've conspired to trap the soul, to kidnap the soul and hold the soul in darkness, right? And they themselves are walking around like they were the soul themselves. My mind is behaving like it is me. And it's not me. Just like this phone is not me, right? But this phone starts behaving like it's me and people accept that, how crazy would that be, right? How crazy would that be? But that's exactly what's happening. The mind, the intelligence, the senses, and the false ego, these guys are not me, they're not us. They are tools given to the soul for the service of Krishna. But the tools have taken over themselves. They got hold of the guy and they said, you sit down there in the corner, and we're going to represent you now. Right? So Krishna gives us trouble, so these guys understand there's no fun in this, right? There's no fun. Krishna consciousness is not fun. You know, after I came to Hare Krishna, I lost all my money. I lost my health. I lost my reputation. You know, so many things I lost, right? Which were very important to me. So how am I going to be happy? You see? But Krishna is watching. The soul is doing some service, right? The soul is doing some chanting. The soul is doing some listening. The soul is doing some smiling to a devotee, right? The soul is doing so many wonderful things. Small things, but all wonderful things. They're not small, but they look small. Because the mind says, it's only small, it's nothing. Look at Bill Gates, he's earning billions of dollars. What are you earning as a devotee? You know, and so you think, wow, man, I don't even have a bank account. You know, I don't even have cash in my pocket. I'm such a fallen person. I'm so low. You know, think like that. But actually, it's just the opposite. Because in his case, the guy who has the billions of dollars, he has to repay all that money he got from, right? Whoever he got it from, that's the law of karma. You take money, you have to give it back. If you don't give it back in this life, in the next life, you have to give it back thousands of times multiplied. Wow. Then if you're the richest man in the world, then the next life you have to pay back 1,000 times multiplied. How many lifetimes is it going to take you to pay all that back? That's a heavy loss, right? That person is really suffering. We should somehow go to him and say, Prabhu, you're suffering. You think you're enjoying, but you're actually suffering. It's not the truth. You just heard the opposite. Somebody gave you the wrong advice here. So what should I do? You should immediately turn towards Krishna and serve Krishna. Use all your money in the service of Krishna. Right? Then what happens is, because you took the money from somebody, you served Krishna with that money genuinely. By the way, you didn't steal the money. You earned it like everybody earns money. If you stole the money, that's a bad thing to do. But if you took the money, you got the money by earning, you used it for Krishna. Every person you took the money from will also get the benefit of your service to Krishna. They also get the benefit, which will be much more than any amount of money, right? I often ask this question, you know, any of the devotees, I can ask the same question of any of you. If someone said here, someone came, was a very rich person, say Bill Gates came, right? And he's a rich person. And he says to you, or says to us, I'll give you $10 billion. Just give up your Krishna consciousness. Give it up. You have $10 billion. What would we say to him? What would our answer be to him? Yeah, exactly. Can I take the $10 billion and give it to Krishna, and then I won't practice Krishna consciousness, but I'll give the $10 billion to Krishna for his service. Can I do something like that? No, you can't do that. That $10 billion you can only use for your sense gratification, to enjoy your senses, right? And give up. Don't practice Krishna consciousness. Now start eating meat, fish and eggs again. And start drinking liquor again, intoxication. Chase every man, woman, and dog, cat, and everybody else around town. And then also gamble. Just gamble a lot. Go to Las Vegas, live in Las Vegas, build your house inside the casino. And would we do that? $10 billion, a lot of money, right? How many devotees would do that, do you think? I don't think any devotee would do that. That means their devotion is worth more than that, right? They're not giving up something worth more for something less. We do that all the time, right? Nobody goes and buys something more. I mean, pays something more. We do that in some ways. Like this phone is $800. It's not worth $800 in some ways. But, you know, people pay $800 for it, right? You know? But then, one would not actually, you know, give up, say, for example, you know, $800 for, you know, these pair of, what do you call them? What are the glasses that are? No, it's like a magnifying glass. What do they call them? It's magnifying glass. You know the magnifying glass? It's sort of like it only magnifies things, right? So then you can see better. It's not a, like these are not real glasses, they're magnifying glasses, right? So you can, if you put a magnifying glass on, it magnifies it like, little bit more, now you can see better, right? That's all it is. So it's not a real glass. So magnifying glasses are cheap. They're very cheap, like $2 each, $3 each. The same thing, if you bought a real glass like this that actually was according to the numbers and everything, you'd be paying probably, you know, $100, $200 for it. Right? But who would give $800 for this glass? No one, right? Because... And of course, unless they're desperate, they can They need to see something. It's going to be worth more than $800. But no one buys these for $800 because they don't want to give up something more for something less. You know, we give $800 for this because it does more than $800 worth of work for us. I mean, you know, this phone has done for me. You know, I'm really writing my 20th book on this book, on this thing. But it writes. It's a writing tool. You know what I mean? So, I mean, each of those books is worth a lot of money to me. You see what I'm saying? In the sense that, you know, it's my method of preaching to myself. I'm writing a book to myself. I'm preaching to myself that this is Krishna consciousness. Do you really understand what Krishna consciousness is? When you read it, it makes a lot more sense too, right? Not just when you hear it. You write it down in your own handwriting, and if you speak it in your own words, it's a very powerful way to preach to yourself. And we need to preach to our mind. I need to preach to my senses, my mind, my intelligence, and my false ego. I need to preach. In fact, whenever I'm preaching to anybody else, I'm only preaching to my senses, my mind, my intelligence, my false ego. I'm not telling them how they can become better. I'm really telling me, myself, how I can become better. Because if I preach to myself, there's a chance I'll listen, right? I'll hear myself. People like to hear themselves, you know. They don't like to hear others. They like to hear themselves. So this, you know, this process of reaching out to others is very, very important. And really, the 11th canto is written for this purpose, that we will reach out to others. And we'll take all risk to reach out to others, and we'll take all suffering to reach out to others, because all of that will convert in the spiritual world when you go back to the transcendental world. Krishna will remind us, you remember when you preached to this person? You remember you talked to that person? And that person was my devotee, and you encouraged that person? I was so happy when you said that. I actually wanted to run to planet Earth and embrace you right there. But I didn't do it because I was worried if I give you the gift before you die, then you will become so proud. Your senses, your mind, your intelligence, false ego will become so proud that they'll make you fall down again. So I didn't want you to fall down again. So I held it back until you were dying. And then when you were dying, I came to you. And I said, don't worry, you're coming back to me. You're fine. Everything's okay. And then you died very happily. You died in bliss because you realized, okay, the nightmare is over. The nightmare is over. Finally, the nightmare is over. Now, I can actually do some real devotional service to Krishna, you know, in the transcendental abode of Golok Vrindavan, like that. Hare Krishna. Any points anybody would like to make? Any questions? About 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Yes, Mr. Bhagavan Prabhu, you have a microphone there. Oh, it's there. It's right behind the pillar. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Sometimes I was hearing the other day in that song about the six Goswamis is that they had no enemies.
Mm.
Sometimes we hear that about a devotee, that they don't have any enemies.
Right, right.
But then we notice that they seem to actually have lots of enemies. I remember Ramanujacharya had trouble finding a cook that wouldn't poison the food, for instance. So is it, when they say the devotee has no enemies, is that just how they react to their enemies, or what does that mean exactly?
Yeah. The Goswamis were friends of everybody because they had everybody's best interests in their heart, right? So they knew that some of these people were not so nice in their behavior. But, you know, it's just like, you know, when you have children, right? So if the children are misbehaving, what do we do to them? What do? We sort of speak nicely, lovingly to them and encourage them to do the right thing, right? And over a period of time, they change. People change. They realize, it's not good for me. I should give it up. I should do something good. Can you think of an example where that happened? Somebody was really not good, and then some devotee went to that person, and then the person became really good. Huh? Yeah, Megrari the Hunter. Good example, right? Megrari the Hunter was a real tough guy, you know what I mean? He was doing so much nonsense, you know? And then Narada Muni goes to him, and then what happens? He becomes a pure devotee of Lord, right? After Narada Muni deals with him. That's the friend of the not so nice people, right? That's a real friend, right? So what we see is everybody has love for the Supreme Lord. It is simply not awakened, right? It's dormant. But everybody has it. So we see this dormant love and we try to fan the spark of the dormant love, turn it into a blazing fire of love for Krishna, right? That's the idea behind it. So the Goswamis were like that. So in our case also, when we deal with others, we should be very careful. Anyway, one point to understand is this, that those who act like enemies in this world with us are really our best friends in the spiritual world. It's just the other way around. The best friends in this world are the ones who are not very close to us in the spiritual world. Why would that happen? Because there, we didn't feel some reciprocation that we wanted. Like everybody wants somebody to be close and somebody to be a little distant, right? We all know that. Come on. It has to be a fact. All of us don't have exactly the same nature. So when the natures are not the same, you like to keep that person separate, right? Okay? But the natures not being the same doesn't mean they're bad. It's like, imagine this is one nature, this phone, and this glass is another nature. You can't expect the glass to act like a phone, and you can't expect the phone to act like my spectacles, right? Right? Spectacles is not a good example, because now they make spectacles that are phones also. But let's take a bottle of water. There's no bottle of water here. But imagine there's a bottle of water and then this phone. The phone can't become water and the water is not going to become a phone. Right? Fact? Now both of them don't belong together in the sense you put the phone in the water, it's not going to be very helpful, right? You're going to lose the phone. You see what I'm saying? So the other day one of our devotees, she put the phone in a can of coconut milk. Then the phone didn't work. Why did he put it in? I was talking and I didn't realize. I put the phone down and was put it right in a can of coconut milk. You know what I mean? So ruined the phone. You see what I'm saying? But the phone is, fact is, the coconut milk is good and the phone is good. Put them together, it doesn't work as well, right? So in the same way, when we see enemies, try to understand, enemy is good and I am good. It's just together we're not so good, right? But we are both good. So in that sense, I should always hope that my enemy, whoever that enemy is, I really don't have any enemies. My enemies are inside me, you know, in the form of kam, krodh, moha, lobha, and all these guys, you know, the lust and greed and madness. It's inside me. Those are my enemies, real enemies. I don't have any enemies outside. But imagine you had an enemy outside. Someone is the enemy. One should pray that that person will be fully Krishna conscious and fully ecstatic. Why? Because when you go back to the spiritual, one of the reasons you should do that, not only because it's right, but when you go back to the spiritual, the enemy will say, I remember I was your enemy there, and you always used to pray for me. That was so nice of you. That's why you're my best friend here. And he'll hug you and kiss you and, you know, smother you with all of his love or her love. So imagine, when you ever see someone you really don't like, and there are some devotees very hard to like, right? They're really very hard to like. They're rough around the edges. You know, they bite at you when you come close, you know, whatever. And they have some hard words to say to you, you know, whatever it is, right? You should know those are your best friends in the spiritual world. In Krishna Loka, they're your best friends. And why they come to give you trouble here? Because they want you to get out of here, go back there again. You know what I mean? What are you doing in the material world? I'm going to make it rough for you so you'll get out of here, right? You won't think, oh, material world's okay, man. I think I can survive here. No, we can't survive here. We don't need to be here. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that when someone criticizes you, should know they're your best friend. And when somebody praises you, should know they're not your best friend. Because they praise you and you feel like, oh, I'm doing okay, you know, in the material world. Well, I'm sorry, you're going to only live longer in the material world if you like it. Krishna is going to say, welcome. That's why I created the material world for you. Stay as long as you like. Any number of breaths of Vishnu, and one breath of Vishnu is 311 trillion years. Heck. That's a pretty long time, right? So when these Goswamis were friends of those who were not so nice, they saw that this person is actually Krishna's devotee. And I should do everything possible to help this person become a nice devotee of Krishna. They would not encourage their bad behavior. They wouldn't tell them, carry on with your, you know, whatever nonsense you're doing. They wouldn't say that to them, but they will talk to them about, what can you do? A little bit. Do something for Krishna. You're such a smart person. Do something for the Lord. do something for your own benefit, right? Real benefit for yourself. And these people would love the person because why? Because they wouldn't criticize them and, you know, speak badly of them. They'd try to show some love, right? When you try to show some love to a person, the other person's not going to feel bad about you. They may reject you because they're worrying why you're trying to show them some love, right? They might think, ah, there's a bait and switch going on here. First the love, then comes the what? Then comes the demand. Can I have this? Can I have that? Can you become my follower? Can you become, you know, my sex mate? Or can you become my money, my bank account? You know, something. Dhanam, Janam, Sundarim, right? Lord Chaitanya says. These are the three things people chase in this world. Dhanam means wealth. Janam means followers. And Sundarim means sex life. These are three things people are pursuing in this world. Everybody's trying to pursue one of these three things or more than one of these three things. You look at it, you analyze it, it'll come to one of these three or more than one of these three. So we know that, but that's not what we're trying to help them with. We're trying to help them with, hey, you know that you are the son of the richest man in the world? Really? I'm the son of the richest man in the world? Finally, man, where's the wealth? Show me the money. So, you know, now you can actually help them come to Krishna, right? Because Krishna is the richest person in creation. So, you know, that way they would do that. And so they were seen as very friendly people like them. Does that make sense? Yeah. Actually, Krishna consciousness is a lot of fun, you know. Especially when you don't have anything. When you have nothing, like no money, no reputation, no nothing, right? Then your expectation goes down to zero, right? You think, don't expect anything, man, because they're not going to get anything, you know. Yeah, nothing win, nothing gain, yeah, nothing to, we have nothing to lose, right? Nothing to lose. And then you preach to somebody, you know. You give them a book, you reach out to somebody, and you see the happiness in their face, right? Finally, they came to hear the real message. This is real love. Bring them here, give them prasadam to them, you know. Anybody eats the prasadam, go knockout, right? And they're like, wow, man, what is this? And come and see the Lord here, everybody's jaw is going to drop. Wow, this is beauty, man. This is real beauty. And who has friends in this world, right? In America, they say, you know, if you want to live longer, get a dog. Why do they say get a dog? No friends. A dog is your friend, right? Dog is your friend. You have a friend, you can have some life, right? So they have to get a dog. You see what I'm saying? But then when the devotee becomes a friend to somebody, that's a real person, right? Becoming a friend. People appreciate that, man. The last thing we should do when we're talking to anybody is try to get anything out of them. Don't do that. Just get their friendship. Krishna will become so happy with us. Okay, if we're poor in this world, who cares? This is a wretched place anyway, right? It's not a nice place, this world. What are you going to do with your money anyway in this nice world, in this wretched world? Not much, unless you use it for Krishna's service. And we say we're going to use it for Krishna's service, like people say, if I win the lottery, I'll donate it all to the temple. Guess what will happen when they win the lottery? They won't even go to the temple. Forget, donate everything to the temple. Why do I need to go to the temple now, you know? That's what happens. So actually, Krishna is very kind to us. He doesn't give us the money. And when he doesn't give us the money, don't try to make money. Don't try to chase money. You know what I mean? It's not worth chasing. Even if your wife tells you to chase the money, don't worry about it. Tell your wife, don't worry about it, man. If you want to chase the money, you go and chase the money. Why should I chase the money? If a husband tells the wife, chase the money, wife should tell the husband, no. No, you chase the money. Anybody wants to chase money, go chase money. I'm not chasing money. I'm going to reach out to other people, show them Krishna really, really, really loves you. Please embrace Krishna. Embrace Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who is the best of Krishna, right? Krishna at his best. You know. So that's our role. That's what it's saying here. All these verses saying, give up all varieties of, you know, taste in this world for different things. Don't mix your Krishna consciousness with even one grain of sense gratification. Don't mix it. Keep it separate. You want to enjoy sense gratification? Man, do it. Go ahead. Go full hog and have good fun, right? But if you want to be spiritual devotion, don't mix this one with the other one. Do this one fully now. Go full hog on this side, right? Full on Krishna consciousness. That's all I'm doing all the time. That's all I'm not talking about me, by the way. I'm saying everybody, I'm a rascal, you know. I'm just a pretender. But the point is that this is a devotee, right? Devotee is full on Krishna consciousness. Everything you do, no matter what you do, do it for Krishna's pleasure. And we will see that there's so much happiness in Krishna consciousness, there's nothing on the other side that can compare. Even if someone says, I'll make you Brahma, you become the Lord of the entire universe, you know, like in the sense that the creator of the entire universe, right? He's the most powerful person in our universe. Nobody more powerful than Brahma. Devotee will say, no, I'm not interested in being Brahma. Not interested. I'll make you Vishnu. I'm not interested in being Vishnu either. Make you God. I'm not interested in being God. I have more fun here than even God is having. The devotee enjoys it more than Krishna, actually. That's why Krishna wants to come and taste the devotee's devotion, right? And he comes as Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna at his best. Krishna at his best is acting as a devotee of Krishna. At his best. Balaram, who is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by the way, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Balaram is also original Supreme Personality, doesn't want to be known as God. He wants to be known as servant of Krishna. Krishna says, he'll massage Krishna's feet. He'll let Krishna lie on his lap, massage his head while he's lying down. Of course, Krishna likes to do that to Balaram too. But the point is that, and here we are, we're nothing, you know. But we think, I'm something, you know. Let me try and prove to everybody I'm something. I can do this, I can do that. It's just our ignorance, that's all it is. And it causes us unnecessary grief. Just be a humble servant. Prabhupada said the secret of life is a humble attitude of service. Humble attitude of service. Stay humble. If people think you're a rascal, or if anybody thinks I'm a rascal, that's good for me. That's good for me. It keeps me in my place. You know? Just keeps me in my place. I really love it when people criticize me. I didn't like it before. Before I used to hate it. When anybody said anything bad about me, I used to hate it. Then I realized, wow, this is actually the opposite, you know? When people say bad things about you, that's very good. Now you're going to cry for Krishna. You're going to say, Krishna, I want you. Nobody loves me. The world sucks. Where are you? Wherefore art thou, Krishna? You know, we're going to cry for Krishna, right? That's good for us. That's very, very, very good for us. Unfortunately, our false ego is still around, right? This big bully is still around. He's telling, no, 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 it's not good for you. They should love you. Why? Because they should love the false ego, right? The false ego is looking for the love, really. The soul is sleeping, you know. What does the soul know? The soul is in slumber unless the soul is woken up with Krishna consciousness. And even if it has, why should it worry about what the false ego is getting or not getting, right? Prabhupada said, any praise in this world that we get is false. And any criticism we get in this is also false. It's artificial, he says. Don't run after the praise and criticism. It's artificial. Why would somebody praise you? Because they're happy, right? Why would somebody criticize you? Because they're unhappy. So they're happy, they're unhappy. What's that got to do with me? If someone is unhappy, they're going to yell at you, right? So how is that my problem? That's their problem, right? Yeah, you can help them out, try to calm them down and, you know, be nice to them and tell them, it's all right, Prabhu, chill. Just chill. There's a song that came out the other time, Just Chill. It's a nice song. That should be the national anthem of the whole world, you know. Just chill, man. Cool down. Just calm down. Nothing's going to happen. The sky is not going to fall. How many children are born in this world and the mother and father are both dead? When they grow up, there's no mother and father, right? Do they survive? Do the children survive? Yes, they do. And some of these children live the best lives. But they grew up with nothing, you know? They grew up with nothing. They learn to appreciate everything. They're nice people. They reach out to others. They help them also. You know? They live really nice lifestyles. We're thinking, just have, just to have this. Must have this, must have that, must have this, must have that. And we get so caught up in must have this, must have that, we can't see the Lord, you know what I mean? We can't see God. You know, the Muslims have a very nice prayer, you know. The prayer is, don't tell God how great your sins are, how great your suffering is. Don't tell God how great your suffering is. Tell your sufferings how great God is. Imagine if you tell your suffering how great Krishna is, right? How nice would that be? Krishna would think, wow, I gave this guy trouble and he's remembering me instead. That means he's my real devotee. He's my real devotee. We passed the test. But we failed the test. After he asked if I was suffering, forget Krishna, man. Take care of the suffering first. Then we'll think about Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta has a list of about 25 items. He says these are the greatest things to know in Krishna consciousness. Right in the middle it says, in one of the items right in the middle is, the best way to be Krishna conscious is the best time to be Krishna conscious is when you're in bad health. Or in really bad health. That's the best time to be Krishna conscious. You look at Krishna Prabhupada's best years, it was in his worst health, right? Wasn't it? Prabhupada's best years were in his worst health. Why? That's Prabhupada showing love to Krishna, right? You gave me bad health. He could have decided I'd take care of my bad health first. I'll go to the Ayurvedic person or the homeopathic person or the whoever else, right? And take care of my health first before I do some service again. He didn't do that. Right in the middle of his heart attack, he's writing the most famous prayer, Markine Bhagavad Dharma, that prayer that he wrote. You know, Markine means American. Sanskrit word for American is Markine. And Bhagavad Dharma means the song of America. He wrote the song of America. The devotional song of America, he wrote that. When? While he's having his heart attacks. I mean, it's hard to think these things, you know. The fact is, these are good examples for us. Health is going to be up and down. I mean, it's just the nature of the body, right? Why would we care what the health is? Continue our service. Chant nicely, read nicely. Most importantly, again and again, I'll say this. If there's nothing anybody remembers of what I said, one thing that everyone I'd like to remember is, please reach out to other people. Please serve other people, including the non-devotees. Serve them. Serve them. Everybody's devotee. Not nobody's non-devotee. Who's non-devotee? Jivera Swarupa Hoy Nityara Krishna Das. Everyone is Krishna's servant. Everyone is Krishna's devotee. Reach out to these people. Most of the time I'm doing counseling work for non-devotees. Now, this is what I'm doing. I'm in ecstasy all the time. There's no way they would have come to know about Krishna had they not had their problem. Because they had their problem, then they found out that I was somebody who gives them some counseling in that area and helps them. And I do that, and in the process, I'm not even helping them, serving them. And in the process, they start becoming devotees. They start thinking, oh, I also take a Bhagavad Gita, I also read, I also chant. I also give up my eating meat, fish and eggs. I'm going to do those things. I think to myself, wow, this is so nice. Thank Krishna they had some problem, right? If they never had the problem, they would never have done that. That's why misery is the best thing in this world. People find it hard to believe. Well, I'll give you some more misery. Please, go ahead. What can I do? In the ocean, you're going to be wet, right? It's a miserable place. It's going to be misery. But what the misery should do is turn us to Krishna. Turn us to Krishna. And that's the best way to deal with misery. Otherwise, there's more misery and more misery and more misery. This the Goswamis knew, you see what I'm saying? So they're always happy. Look how much they had, right? The Goswamis had what? A loincloth? Water pot? Pretty much that's all they had in their lives, right? And the chanting beads. That's the wealth of the Goswamis. And look what they did. They saved the whole world with their writings. Saved the whole world. Today we're reading all these writings. These are from the Goswamis and their associates. And rest is history. We're in ecstasy, rolling in prasadam, eating too much prasadam. We're rolling in ecstasy, including the ecstasy of devotees, you know, yelling at us. And it's also an ecstasy. It's a type of ecstasy. Just accept it as ecstasy. It's ecstatic. That's all. Move on. All right, any other points anybody would like to make? Any statements? No? It's prasadam time. Today is Thanksgiving. We want to say on behalf of the deities, of course, we want to first thank the deities for standing on the altar all these years and giving us blessings. But I'm sure the deities are also feeling very thankful to all of the devotees, all of you and all of the devotees of this dham and whoever came and went for doing any little service for the deities. The devotees, deities very much appreciate that. And of course, many of us devotees have been served by other devotees. We're always serving each other. So today is the day we say thank you to everyone and have a nice feast in the honor of this program. And if any of you have a situation where, you know, you don't have funds or anything, please talk to me. We'll make the arrangements. But join us for the feast upstairs at 12:30, where all the devotees get together and have a nice feast together and, you know, hopefully laugh it all off. And encourage each other to be more loving towards one another and reach out. Really, we shouldn't be worried about us. We should be worried about people outside who are really, really, really suffering out there. So many people are suffering so badly. We need to reach out to these people and somehow help them. Krishna consciousness. Yes, Prabhu. Oh, Krishna's bread. Nice. Bhagavatamrita Prabhu is saying that somebody walked out the other day in the restaurant, had a nice prasadam bread tucked in his hands. And when you spoke to him, he said he was going to what? That bread was for his Thanksgiving. Yeah. People love prasadam so much, you know. It's better than any turkey on the planet, right? You know. And he was just going to go home and enjoy the bread for Thanksgiving, right? Krishna's mercy for Thanksgiving. Prasadam, Krishna's mercy for Thanksgiving. How much better can get than that? Nice. I hope there's some nice friends with him to enjoy also. Maybe next time take more than one loaf of bread. I remember when I was a younger devotee, Hridayananda Maharaj used to love eating bread, you know. So in Fiji, we had our own bread shop called Hot Breads. And so we made some bread. And people used to love eating hot breads, you know. So he would look forward to that. So sometimes I'd come to America for business. And so when I'd go to Los Angeles, because that time he was preaching a lot in Los Angeles, he would see me. First thing he would ask me, do you bring any bread? And I always packed two loaves for him coming to America. Knowing if I have ever met Hridayananda Maharaj, I would know that I have two loaves of bread to give him. He loved bread. He would eat a whole loaf in one sitting. One whole loaf of bread. That's not easy to do, you know. That's tough. He loved it so much. We had another devotee, Maharaj, who came to Fiji. His name was Suhotra Swami. I don't know if you ever heard of Suhotra Swami. Suhotra Swami, right? Yeah, very nice devotee. He would eat a whole gallon of ice cream in one sitting. Whole gallon. We had an ice cream shop there called Naturally the Best. It's called Hare Krishna, Naturally the Best. We had 43 different flavors of ice cream. And so make fresh ice cream, you know, like that. So, and he would love the ice cream, man. He would just gobble it up. And we were surprised that he had so much capacity to eat ice cream, you know. Of course, the devotees love that, right? When somebody can eat a lot, then the devotees really love it because the devotees like to make more for them, you know, so that they can eat a lot. And it satisfies, the cook feels more satisfied seeing the person eating a lot. Nothing gives the cook more pleasure than to see someone really, you know, consuming food like that, right? So that gave us so much pleasure. We used to be so happy with, you know, these nice devotees who would come. Some of them eat a lot of rasgullas and things like that, you know. 20, 30 rasgullas in one sitting, you know. It's like, and now rasgullas used to be big, you know, make the big size one. You know? I just see 20 or 30 and they have a full meal and then they have 20 or 30 rasgullas after that, you know. Think to myself, man, these devotees, they've got capacity, man. They've got capacity to eat. Because now we're getting older, we're all becoming very disciplined in our lives. We're probably not even eating one rasgulla. But when you were young, it was very different. It was very different. There was so much, eat so much, you know. Like, they'd make, in Fiji, we used to make these pizzas that really this big, you know, each pizza. And each devotee would go through one or one and a half of those, you know. Just so many pizzas we would make, you know. But, you know, devotees had that capacity. Younger devotees can do a lot. Older ones, we have to settle down more. Anyway, thank you. That's a wonderful statement. Jayananda Prabhu, Bhagananda Prabhu was saying that Jayananda Prabhu, when he would cook and he would feed the devotees, and he'd say that if it has a lot of butter and sugar on it, then it's all right. That's great. A lot of butter and a lot of sugar. And now everybody runs away from butter and sugar, right? Thank you very much, Prabhu. Thank you. Yeah, wonderful. I mean, Krishna consciousness is life, man. You have to agree it's life. This is the place we have fun. Real enjoyment is Krishna consciousness. In anything, no matter what it is, eating, and of course the other thing, I don't want to even talk about the other things, but you know, in everything, the devotees have the most fun. All right, thank you very much, everybody. Please join us again today for the feast, the big feast. And everybody who comes today, let them feel very happy. They came to the ultimate home. This is the ultimate home of all living entities. And that they'll be happy in their Krishna consciousness one way or another. Hare Krishna. Jai Panchakalpaturbhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhya Vaishnavebhya Namo Namaha Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrindaki Jai.